Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This is a podcast from The Times, sports newspaper of the year. Hello and welcome to The Games. I'm Chris Skinner, and in a slightly special edition, I've been travelling across London, catching Times reporters on their way in and out of venues at London 2012. It was pretty smooth going as well. What travel chaos. Monday was another good day for Team GB, albeit less spectacular than that incredible weekend, but today promises much more. So let's start with Team GB's first medal chance for the day, the men's triathlon. So I might have mentioned on the programme already, I'm a massive triathlon enthusiast. Another convert to the sport is Matt Dickinson. Hi Matt, how are you doing?
I'm very good, very good. Not quite as fit as I'd like to be, but...
Well, not as fit as the Brownleys. Now, people who aren't particularly familiar with the sport will probably have a rough idea of these two brothers who seem to be dominating the sport at the moment. Tell us a little bit about them.
They're two great guys. They're quite sort of geeky in a way that they're the sort of guys who think it's fun just to sort on a day off, just to look at a map and choose a place that's about 800 miles away and cycle there. That's their idea of kicks. But they're very, very talented, partly because they took to triathlons when they were young.
Yeah.
You know, this is a sport that's growing. It's only been in the Olympics, I think, since 2000. But these are kids who, you know, a lot of triathletes just fall into it because they weren't quite good enough swimmers. Whereas these kids have been very good at swimming and cycling and running since they were young.
And the fact that there's two of them together means that they are so intimidating to rivals at the front of a group, aren't they? Because they do genuinely act as a team, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit like the road race. It's an individual sport, but within it, you can act as a team, like you say. So effectively, I mean, they're very quick on the swim, so they'll try to get out in front. You can draft on the bike, which sadly you can't do in the triathlons I do, which basically means you can help each other. So there's a lot, you know, they can slipstream each other. So yes, you can operate as teams. Others will be trying to basically keep up with them to sort of get a toe on the bike, but even if they do that, Alistair in particular is a sensationally good runner. He will run 10k in less than half an hour at the end of a triathlon, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, you wonder if he should enter the 10,000 metres as a fully fit athlete after, let alone all those other stages. And now they've also got a domestique. Helen Jenkins had two at the weekend and still failed to pick up gold. I know she was carrying a knock, but can you see past these guys?
It's hard to think that they won't both be on the podium at least. There's a Spanish chap called Gomez who's yep. been their sort of main rival. But I mean, Alistair had a pretty bad injury, a torn Achilles, which is, you know, no small thing. But he came back after 2 or 3 months out and blew the field away, his first comeback race. If it's not a gold and silver for the Brownleys, we'll all be gutted, put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Although there is a slight lottery. Triathlon, since it became an Olympic sport, hasn't necessarily followed the trend where the best in the world wins it. I know the guy who won the first one was like ranked 13th in the world, hadn't won a major race. So there is an element of lottery to this, I guess.
There is. I mean, one of the British girls I was talking about the other day, she was doing very well in a race and got knocked off by a stray dog off her bike. We saw a lot of crashes. There's one particularly greasy corner down near Buckingham Palace. So yeah, all it takes is a puncture, an accident on the bike. You know, you can have your goggles knocked off in the swim. You can be punched in the swim, and so yeah, it's one of those sports, a bit like the cycling road race, where you know we can have our favourite, but anything can happen. But yes, I'm going to be confident on this one, and predict two brothers on a podium. Whether that's gold and silver, we'll have to see.
And as I left Matt Dickinson, I headed towards Stratford to speak with Aisling O'Connor and chief sports reporter Owen Slott about Sir Chris and Queen Vic. Ashley, you're going to be heading over to the Velodrome later to see the end of Hoy and Pendleton. Let's start with Pendleton. Is she our greatest female cyclist?
Well, if she wins gold in the individual sprint, then she will be, because she'll have three gold medals to her career, which would eclipse Dame Kelly Holmes with two and Rebecca Adlington with two. So she'd become our most highly decorated female Olympian, certainly in the modern era. It'd be a great crowning achievement for a fantastic career.
Yeah, no, the day in the Velodrome is going to be very emotional for that reason. You know, for anyone who has followed or has an attachment with British cycling, you're seeing the two all-time greats in British track cycling finishing their Olympic careers on the same day. Hoy is clearly the greatest track cycler that we've ever had. Great Britain has ever had, and he'll go out tomorrow on maybe his sixth gold medal. Who knows? And then obviously also Pendleton as well. She'll be going out and she'll be looking for her third. She's been the trailblazer for women's track cycling, and you can see the next generation coming up and their feisty little punch. But Pendleton's been magnificent over the years, and she's made it very, very clear that she doesn't want any more of it once this has been and done.
It's almost a shame that she is stopping now, because she's never been more famous, the sport's never been more famous, and she doesn't really seem to have ever been quicker.
Yeah, and I mean, and no one expected her to get a gold medal in the Kieran either, and she's going toe-to-toe with Anna Mears, her greatest competitor, greatest rival from Australia. And like you say, I guess, but that's the case with all Olympians, is just as we get to know them, they retire, because they're only in the spotlight once every 4 years. But the effort to maintain that training, you know, year after year, just for that one moment every 4 years is immense. And, you know, she wants to get on with her life. She wants to get married. She wants to have a family, and she's not getting any younger. So I imagine that this is about the right time for her to bow out, and what's better than her home games?
You mentioned that the next generation, Laura Trott, is part of that. And she is minuscule. She's about the size of one of Chris Hoy's legs. Yeah, she's a serious medal prospect herself in the Omnium, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a world champion in the Omnium. Yeah. And she is an extraordinary athlete in many ways. I mean, A, she's hilarious. B, she's absolutely teeny-weeny, as you say. And yet, she has phenomenal power, an extraordinary competitive instinct. It's one of the great joys to watch her on the Velodrome. I watched her in the Eliminator, which is one of the rounds of the Omnium, on the TV with my kids in the London World Cup back in February. And they understood pretty quickly how the race worked. They were just laughing. You know, the family was in laughter, appreciating this girl and watching her execute this very entertaining race to perfection. And just one by one, she'd be knocking out a girl that was much bigger than her. You know, she's a real street fighter. I mean, we sort of call her the Essex Girls on Wheels. And she does a brilliant job. And she really is a superstar, not really the future of right now.
Yeah, well, she was the prospect for 2016, wasn't she? But she could be going into 2016 with a couple of golds under her belt.
Yeah, she's. We talk about Queen Victoria. Laura Trott is the royal in waiting.
Yes.
I mean, you know, she's not really waiting. She's sort of banging on the door and charging in. I think she's a magnificent sporting personality, and I think that the British public, once they get to see a little bit more of her, understand who she is, will find her absolutely wonderful and really take it to their hearts.
Chris Hoy will be bidding an emotional farewell. Is he a medal prospect?
Yeah, he certainly is. He'll be your favourite for the gold medal. We've already seen that he's on outstanding form. The point about this whole British cycling team is they appear to have peaked just at the right time. Yeah. There's not one cyclist that hasn't given of their best. You know, the only errors that we've made has been disqualifications rather than sort of the amount of power in their legs or whatever. Hoy's looking as fast as he ever has. He's a supreme Kieran rider. The thing I go back to is it's Melbourne in April in the World Championships, where he wasn't actually at his very, very best. But some just magnificent bike handling and some real daredevil, almost sort of circus riding, got him out of a spot, and he managed to pinch a gold medal where I thought it looked like he was just going to be closed out altogether.
If he won a sixth gold medal, how fantastic would that be? He'd be our greatest Olympian, and Sir Steve Redgrave could have to move aside with only just five. And I think that you know, he's still a great competitor, but you know, he's being eclipsed by the next generation already. You know, Jason Kenny got his spot in the individual sprint, so I think it would be you know, he knows that it's time to step aside, but he is also wants to make his mark as the greatest. The Kieran is a bit of a lottery, a bit more hard. It's a bit harder to read as an event than the sprint, which he dominated for so many years. So it would be great if he did. It'd be great if he did.
Now, let's assume we were standing next to a bookmakers. I've got £1 for you to put on Pendleton and £1 on Hoy. Are you going for both to win?
Yes.
Finally, the young, scruffy sibling of track cycling kicks off with Sinead Reid in the BMX tomorrow. I really enjoy it. I don't really quite get it in the way that I get track cycling, but Sinead Reid is a talent, a chance of a medal here?
Well, she certainly is a chance. She's more one of those athletes where you say, well, class is permanent and form is temporary. And there hasn't been great signs of the form of old. Yeah. You know, she is a former world champion. We know that she's good enough to beat the rest of the world. She hasn't been doing a lot of that recently. So it's one of those things, you know, how successful will the peak to the London Games be? I think the BMX, well, like all every Olympic sport really, but BMX is a lot in the head. It's a lot of confidence. How happy you are with the track and the start and... it is cycling. It is a sort of a boxing match on wheels, basically. So you know, she's got to be very confident that she's in the right positions and can lay the right punches at the right time.
Will has tweeted us using the My Olympics hashtag, saying Japan versus France, women's semi-final, only the odd 40,000 turned up for it, which is a fantastic point. 40,000 people turning up for a game like that really does sum up how popular the games have become. Having said that, the stadium was still half full, so maybe right tournament, wrong stadium, or maybe we should just be less picky and look at all the empty seats from previous games, far outweighing what we've seen in London. Thanks for listening. There's more action tomorrow where I guarantee British golds. Tweet using My Olympics or direct to me at producer Chris if I'm wrong, but I won't be. We're updating the iPad edition of The Times three times a day during the games at 5 a.m, 5 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. so you can read all the latest headlines as they break. If you're not a subscriber, timespacks.co.uk is worth a visit to find out about the benefits of getting on board. Thanks for listening. Bye bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.